Now to even more important matters. If you have your Bibles, please open up to Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. We're continuing our study of this awesome gospel. Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 23. Hear the word of God. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him?" And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Father, as we consider this contentious topic, this difficult topic, one that was clearly difficult in Jesus' day, pray that you would give us insight into this and that you would drive the truth of this passage home to our hearts. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The last few weeks that we've been in Mark, we have seen the Pharisees sparring with Jesus over a variety of issues. They have questioned his authority to forgive sins. They have questioned why he would eat with tax collectors and sinners. They have questioned his fasting practices. And as we continue going through Mark, we see it over and over again. The Pharisees are nipping at his heels. The Pharisees are biting at everything that he does. And so here in Capernaum, during his Galilee ministry, Jesus is facing one hostile scene after another. The Pharisees, as we read through this, it's like they're hitting their stride against Jesus. They are picking at a myriad of things. It's constant. It's a repetitive attack, a pulsating and throbbing onslaught. One scandal, one confrontation after another. And in this morning's passage, a most bitter struggle occurs. And it becomes a center of controversy in the ministry of Jesus. It becomes a center of controversy in the life of Jesus. It is a true flashpoint. And that is, what is Jesus' understanding and application of the Sabbath? This issue is going to rise up again and again in Galilee and again in Jerusalem. So let us consider how it unfolds in the passage before us. Let's begin by looking at verse 23, which is the setting of the issue. Verse 23, one Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. So there it is right at the beginning. It is the Sabbath, the day of rest in which no work is to be done. This is dealing with the fourth commandment in Exodus chapter 20. It's the Sabbath. And here Jesus and his disciples are walking along, and they pass through a grain field, and they take some of the produce from the grain field. Now, the first thing we need to be aware of is this is not a problem. Taking the grain is not stealing. That's not what the Pharisees are upset about. It is perfectly legal according to Old Testament law. For example, clearly says in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 25, says the following. If you go into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the ears with your hand, but you shall not put a sickle to your neighbor's standing grain. So this is a biblical precept. Israelite farmers were required to leave part of their fields unharvested for the poor. The poor would then be able to eat. So on this Sabbath, Jesus' disciples are on the move and they're hungry. So they see this grain field and they take some of the produce to eat. So that's not the problem. What is the problem? Verse 24. The Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" So the Pharisees apparently are walking along with Jesus and the disciples. And they see what the disciples are doing, and they question Jesus about the legality of what they are doing. Now, the reason they question Jesus, I think, is quite clear. If his disciples are doing what is unlawful, then Jesus is guilty of approving their activity. He is the leader of the disciples. He's not stopping them. He's not saying anything to them, and therefore he must approve of what they're doing. Thus, the question here has much more to do with Jesus' views of the Sabbath than what the disciples are doing. You see that? It has much more to do with him than it does with them. Now understand, in regards to the Sabbath, the Pharisees had added on top of the Bible a whole superstructure of regulations of Sabbath laws. In fact, these additional laws of the Pharisees were placed into 39 separate categories of Sabbath restrictions. Now listen to what category 3 of the Talmud says in one of these Sabbath categories. Category 3 says that if a person picks off heads of grain on the Sabbath, rolls them in their fingers, and then chews them, then the person has reaped, threshed, and prepared food on the Sabbath. This is clearly breaking the laws of the Sabbath according to rabbinic traditions. They see the disciples doing that. Understand, the Pharisees were serious about the Sabbath laws. On the Sabbath, a person could not carry an object that weighed more than a dried fig. He could eat nothing larger than an olive. He could not light a fire. A scribe could not carry a pen. Uh-oh, he might write something. A tailor could not carry a needle. Uh-oh, he might sew something. Nothing could be washed on the Sabbath. Now, it may also be a problem, some commentators have tried to point this out, that it's a problem that Jesus and his disciples are walking on the Sabbath. According to rabbinic law, one can only walk 3,000 feet from one's house. I don't think that's a problem because the Pharisees are walking with him. But if you walk farther than 3,000 feet, you have broken the Sabbath law. One strand of rabbinic law that I was reading says that if you carry a piece of wood from your house, that you may lay it down after you have walked 3,000 feet, and then you can walk 3,000 more feet because you're walking from your house. That little piece of wood belonged to your house. Now, how is Jesus going to respond to this accusation? How is Jesus going to respond to this? Verses 25 and 26, and he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him." I want you to note something right away here. Observe that Jesus, in responding to the Pharisees, appeals to Scripture. He doesn't go to the Talmud. He doesn't go to the Targums. He doesn't go to the Halakha. He doesn't go to the Jewish rabbis. He does not refer to the traditions of men. Jesus' defense is the Scriptures. And note the cutting remark. You've got to really see this. Note the cutting remark he makes to the Pharisees. Have you never read? That's an amazing thing to say to the Pharisees, who are one who could tell you what is the middle letter of the book of Leviticus, who count every consonant in the Bible, who can tell you how many times a particular word appears in the book of Deuteronomy. And then they could explain what every rabbi said about the middle letter of the book of Leviticus. And then Jesus says to them, have you never read? That's amazing. He's poking them, isn't he? And his point is, yes, they have read the Scriptures in one sense over and over and over again. But they really have not understood the true meaning and significance of the Scriptures. They have eyes, but they do not really see. Now, the passage that Jesus speaks of is 1 Samuel 21, verses 1 through 6. And the story there is David is on the run from the vengeance of Saul. He and his men are starving to death. And when they arrive at the place called Nob, David asks the priest for the holy bread of presence to feed himself and his men. Now there's a problem there. And the problem is that the eating of this bread is reserved for the priests according to the five books of Moses. Let me read that to you just real quickly. In Leviticus chapter 24, verse 9, listen to what it says. Leviticus 24, verse 9. It's talking about the bread that is in the tabernacle. And it shall be for Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in a holy place, since it is for him a most holy portion out of the Lord's food offering, a perpetual due. It belongs to the priests. It belongs to Aaron. And here comes David, who is fleeing from Saul and asking to eat that bread. Well, what's Jesus' point? Jesus' point here is that human need is more important than keeping the letter of the law. This was a case of necessity in which ritual observance at times must give way to moral obligations. Ritual observance must give way to moral obligation. And it's also interesting, as I read this, I think there's another subtle point that Jesus is making as he talks about this story. And that is that the Scriptures in no way, even back in 1 Samuel 21 and in here in what Jesus is saying, in no way condemn David for that act. David is never condemned for taking that bread. And what's so ironic about it is that the reality is a greater king than David is here, and the Pharisees are condemning him. The Davidic king is not condemned for what he does, but the son of David is being condemned by the Pharisees. And the reality is that the Pharisees can see none of it. They're blind. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They're deaf. They have ears, but they cannot hear. Their legalism colors everything that they see, everything that they hear, everything that they're watching Jesus and the disciples do. Their legalism is coloring that. And then Jesus, in a most powerful way, denouncing the Pharisaic interpretation of the Sabbath, in verse 27 says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Here Jesus contrasts the Pharisees' view of the Sabbath and the Bible's view of the Sabbath. And according to Scripture, the Sabbath is a delight. It's something of great joy. It's a benefit. It's a privilege for God's people. It's not a burden. It's a blessing. It's not a burden. It's a blessing. It's men like the Pharisees who make the Sabbath an imposition. It's all the laws of the Pharisees that make it a toil, that make it a hardship, that make it difficult. They make rule after rule regarding the Sabbath, and they forget the very grace and kindness of God in giving the Sabbath to His people. To a people who were in Egypt 400 years, laboring under the oppression of Pharaoh. Day after day after day, God brings them out to the mountain and says, I give you a Sabbath. A day of rest. Very grace and kindness of God to His people. Now in this matter, we need to be careful. We need to get a balance here. We don't want to be legalists, but we don't want to be antinomian. That is, there is no law. We've got to be careful. We've got to get a balance here, don't we? Jesus is not abrogating or doing away with the Sabbath. Understand that. He's not doing away with the Sabbath. We need to get a proper understanding and a proper balance of what He means here. John Calvin put it this way when he was looking at this particular passage. He said, but they are mistaken, I think, who suppose that in this passage the Sabbath is entirely abolished. For Christ simply informs us what is the proper use of it. Not abolishing it, He's not repealing it, He's not doing away with it, but He's telling us what's the right way to look at it. And we're not to look at it in a burdensome way. We're not to look at it, God's being cruel to us by giving us the Sabbath. Indeed not. The great passage in the Old Testament dealing with Sabbath is Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. Listen to what it says. Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It's a day of delight and joy, not something burdensome. Now, who is Jesus to say this? How can Jesus ignore all these years and decades and centuries of rabbinic teaching? Who is He to refute them? Verse 28 is the explosion on the passage. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Jesus, the Son of Man, is the master of the Sabbath and how it is to be observed. Don't you understand? He comes with greater authority than the Pharisees. He comes with greater authority than the Talmud or the Targums or the Halakha. He has the messianic authority. Here is God Himself in flesh teaching us about the Sabbath. And He does not adopt the oppressive rules and regulations of the Pharisees. Something greater than the Pharisees has come. Something greater than David has come. Something greater than the Sabbath has come. as we just take a minute to consider how this passage applies to the church today, I believe our starting point is this. And that is the recognition and the acknowledgement that Jesus did not repeal or put an end to the Sabbath. That's not in this passage. As Charles Simeon, the great English pastor, commented, "Yet we are bound to venerate the Sabbath and keep it holy." There's the one side. That's the great awesomeness of the Sabbath, to keep that day holy. However, there's another side to that coin. We are not to be in bondage to it, as were the Pharisees. The Sabbath is not to be an intolerable yoke upon us. That is a heavy burden to bear. For the Israelites, again, who were coming out of Egypt, freedom from oppression, freedom from the labor under Pharaoh. No, indeed, the Sabbath is to be a blessing and a delight. B.B. Warfield, great Princeton theologian, it's a wonderful metaphor for this. He says, the Sabbath is an oasis in the desert of earthly cares. The Sabbath is an oasis in the desert of earthly cares. Amen. It's not the desert. It's the oasis. J.C. Ryle, great English preacher, said this: "The plain truth is that our Lord did not abolish the law of a weekly Sabbath. He only freed it from the incorrect interpretations and purified it from man-made additions. He did not tear out of the Decalogue the fourth commandment. He only stripped off the miserable traditions with which the Pharisees encrusted that day and by which they had made it not a blessing but a burden." The Sabbath continues, and it's one of joy. And it points to the joy and wonder of our everlasting, eternal Sabbath. When we have that eternal Sabbath in the heavenly city with the Lamb. So I encourage us not to look at this day as burdensome, as toilsome, but as the crescendo of our week and the crescendo of our lives. Amen and amen. Please pray with me. Most Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage and how Jesus deals with this issue. May we be like him. Make us more and more like Christ in all of these issues, all these issues of life. Thank you for this Sabbath day where we can come and worship you joyfully and in freedom from oppression. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things.